Okay, so this is an interview in Miami on the Coral Way Project. My name is Richard Ruiz. I'm at the University of Arizona. Bess DeFarber is also here from the University of Arizona. And if you could just say your name.
Okay, and my name is Maria Navarro. I used to be Maria Andreu.
And can you tell us what years you were at Coral Way?
I was only at Coral Way for 5th and 6th grade. I believe that was 66, 67, and 67, 68.
Mm-hmm. And
so that was only 5th and 6th grade.
You remember your the names of your teachers then?
I think we had the same teachers for 5th and 6th grade, with the exception that they added Miss Odolongo in 6th grade. I think we had Miss Sanchez and Miss Mikes for 5th grade, didn't we, Bess? No, you're not allowed to talk? I'm sorry.
I forgot to mention the date, didn't I? It's March 14th, 2008.
Oh.
Okay, that's fine. And it's about, it's 2 o'clock in the afternoon, something like that.
Yeah.
So you were placed in which group?
I was placed, because of my last name, with the Spanish speakers.
And you know that it was because of your last name?
I am assuming.
Mm-hmm.
I'm assuming.
You don't know of any other... You wouldn't have been tested or something
I don't remember
like that.
Being tested. I know that once the school year started in fifth grade, I guess you had to go at a certain time of the day to a particular Spanish class. And I guess after we had been attending those classes for maybe a few weeks, they realized that my Spanish was really weak. I could speak it, but I couldn't really read it too well or write it. And I remember the Spanish speakers, because I didn't study. I when we came from Cuba, I'm of Cuban descent, we went up north. We went to Illinois, and I started first grade through fourth grade in Illinois, where we were the only Cuban family where we lived in Aurora. So we would speak Spanish at home, but at school everything was in English. So I guess because of the fact that my name was Andreu, I was placed with the Spanish speakers. And when we went to the Spanish class, like I said, I guess they realized that I was not fluent in Spanish. And I think at that point, maybe they changed me from the Spanish class, not from the program of itself. But I think, didn't we used to go? You didn't allowed to talk. Oh, Lord. I think that's the way I remember it. But it was a particular Spanish class that at a certain time of the day, you had to change classes or something, just like you went to art and you went to music. I think we used to go, or maybe they had the teacher come in and they had to split up. I don't know. I just know that at that point, they realized that I was not fluent in Spanish like they thought I was, and they changed me in with the English speakers is what I think happened. Because mm-hmm. I remember I was really struggling.
Mm-hmm. And do you remember who your friends would have been in the school at the time?
Sure. Bessie, Summer Dauda, Leticia Lopez, Gabriel Pelaez, Becky Nunez. I remember Roxana Hernandez, Manuel Hernandez. There was a lot of group because, I mean, we continued with these people from elementary school to junior high and then to high school because the program continued.
These were all in the Spanish group. All the ones that you mentioned, I think, were in the Spanish
Well,
group.
Were the people, I guess, that I associated with in the school, and then the program continues. I remember their names. But my friends that we hung out and stuff were Bessie and Summer and Leticia.
Mm-hmm. And you spoke in English?
Oh, yeah.
With
all,
your friends?
All the time. We didn't speak in Spanish.
You never spoke in Spanish?
At home.
I'm talking about among your friends.
I don't remember speaking in Spanish because Summer didn't speak in Spanish.
And so at home, and I know you mentioned this a minute ago, but make sure that I'm clear on it. At home, the pattern of language use was what?
Spanish. At home?
Spanish.
With my parents and my grandparents that lived with us, we spoke strictly in Spanish. My parents, sometimes we would speak to them in English because they understood, but they would answer us in Spanish. But I would say that it was either 85 or 90% with my parents and the elders in Spanish, but with my siblings in English.
So why is it that you say that your Spanish was not very good?
I could speak it, but mm-hmm. when it came to reading and writing, I was not very good with it. I struggled.
So when you went to Coral Way, they were expecting you to read and write Spanish right away?
I am assuming that since I started in the fifth grade, right. I didn't start in the earlier years, right. and I was of Spanish descent, I am assuming they automatically thought that I knew how to read and write Spanish. But I was coming from Aurora, Illinois, where the only time we spoke Spanish was at home. There was no bilingual program and no Spanish taught in school.
Mm-hmm. Was there any change in the way your languages interacted at home? In other words, the people interacted in language at home as you were going through the program. Was there more English that started to be spoken, or more Spanish, or did the balance change in any way at home?
At home, I think my parents always liked for us to speak in Spanish, because my grandparents that lived with us didn't speak any English, and they didn't like for us to speak in English in front of them. They thought it was disrespectful. But I would talk to my siblings or to Bessie or to Summer, we would speak in English all the time. I don't remember speaking to them in Spanish.
Let's talk a little bit about the classroom. What was your day like in school? I know this was fifth and sixth grade.
Right. Well, fifth grade, we were still in the old building. And I believe the way that it was, I believe it was only Miss Mikes and Miss Sanchez. And then they had the curriculum structured in a way. I remember more about sixth grade than I do about fifth, but I think we used to have to change classes like kids do in junior high. You know, like if it came time for you to have civics in Spanish, then you would go to Miss Sanchez. And if it was a subject that it was going to be taught in English, then you would go to Miss Mikes. Wasn't that the way, Bessie? That's the way I remember it now. In sixth grade, it was a completely different. I think that's when they started to do the curriculum a little bit different, because they integrated Miss Sotolongo into the program. They built a huge air-conditioned building that we, the sixth graders, got to try. You know, it was our building. So then all the students in the bilingual program, I think it was all the students, even though Gabriel, Letitia's husband, says that he wasn't in that building, because I guess you had to be of a certain grade, you know, like GPA or whatever, to be in the structured air-conditioned building. I don't remember it being that way, but Gabriel, Letitia's husband, when I spoke to him about it, he told me he wasn't in the AC building. He was in the old building.
That's what you call it, the AC building?
Yeah, the AC. Well, because it was a new building. The rest of the building didn't have. They used to open the windows, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
At least that's how I remember it. Then again, I'm old, so. But that's the way I remember. Then when class would start, all the kids, like Bessie, Summer, we were all in that air-conditioned building, as I remember. Maybe I'm wrong. They had it set up like, it was kind of like a university type of, the way they had it placed. It was like the teacher's desk were in a certain position, and the students were like a pie type of thing. And then you had to carry your textbooks in a book bag, and Miss Mikes would have a little bell that she would ring. They would take roll call in the morning, and you were assigned either Miss Sanchez, Miss Sotolongo, or Miss Mikes. And after roll call, Miss Mikes would ring her little bell, as I remember. And then you would have to pick up your books and go to your history class or your spelling class or whatever class. And then you had, like in junior high, you had 5 minutes or whatever to get yourself together and go and sit by the pie of the teacher with the teacher in front of you. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
That's the way I remember it.
Mm-hmm.
And then she would ring the bell again, and then you would start. But we were all in that big building, all the students that were in this bilingual program. Gabriel says that he was in it. I guess maybe his English wasn't as fluent, and he was in the old building.
So the distribution of language use in the classroom was by subject. That is, when you went to math, for example, you had it in Spanish or you had it in English?
They used to alternate one semester. The core subjects were in Spanish, and the following semester, your science, your math, your history, your health was in English. So they would alternate. So depending on what semester, you know, it was in, you would change from teacher to teacher. Then you still had your regular English class and your regular Spanish class that within the day structure that you also had. I'm thinking back now, maybe even like on, let's say, Monday and Wednesday, you would have these subjects, and then on Tuesday and Thursday, you would have the other subjects, and maybe the rest of the week or whatever, Friday, they would do something, Wednesday and Friday or whatever. But I remember, if I remember correctly, that's the way it was. You know, that you, the teachers had that pie thing, and then you would go, depending when they rang the bell, you had to go to Spanish or you had to go to English, you'd go to that teacher, and they would alternate it.
So the only thing you remember that you did as a large group was to take roll. Were there other kinds of things? Do you remember any other kinds of things that they would do as a large group?
As a large group together?
Well, like watching a film or doing something else. I know there were a lot, 90 to 100 kids or something in that same room.
Yeah, I don't...
Singing songs or...
Well, maybe
doing
if,
the Pledge of Allegiance.
Oh, yeah, yeah. The morning when the principal would speak and they would take roll call and so forth. Then once all that was finished, then the bell would ring and you would change class, as I remember, you know. But maybe I'm forgetting stuff.
You remember there were probably announcements over the loudspeaker, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's almost universal in every school. Mm-hmm. And do you remember if those were in both languages or were
I
they
don't
just in English?
English. I don't remember them being in Spanish. The only Spanish that was happening was when you were in class.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. I do remember whenever you had to do a presentation, and that semester you had Spanish, you know, you had your history or civics or whatever, you had to stand up in front of the class and give your presentation in Spanish. And that for me was like, really, really, really stressful. I mean, I, to begin with, I'm very shy, and then to have to speak in Spanish and have everybody looking at you was very embarrassing. I was more comfortable speaking in English, and much less giving a report.
Mm-hmm. A lot of your assignments were reading and writing, right? In both
mm-hmm.
languages?
Yes.
And so do you remember the materials, the books or the handouts or whatever, in both languages? Do you remember something about them? They apparently were in both languages.
Yes, way. You had, and you were responsible for carrying the books around. You had to, I think maybe they had a set in the classroom that you had to use, but you were responsible for making sure you had your materials with you at the when the teachers were ready to call on you. But if that semester you had health in Spanish, I'm pretty sure that our textbooks were in Spanish, because I remember that a lot of the words was not the Spanish that we were talking at home. A lot of it maybe was Castilian Spanish, or it was Spanish from Central or South America. It was not every word, you know, but there were words in there that you would say, what the heck is that?
Mm-hmm. So the materials probably came from Europe, maybe, or some other place. They weren't really locally developed.
I don't know. I really couldn't tell you. But I know that there were a lot of words in there that it was not the Spanish that the Cuban Spanish that we spoke at home.
When the teachers would give their lessons, would they would give them just in one language and just the other language? They would never alternate languages? That would not be something that they would do?
What do you mean,
like,
the same day?
For example, Mrs. Sanchez, if she were giving a lesson in social studies, for example,
mm-hmm.
would she ever alternate? Sometimes use Spanish, sometimes use English in those lessons.
That one of their pet peeves was that if the class was in Spanish, they didn't like for you to do that. I remember that being one of their pet peeves.
So as far as you can remember, they didn't do that.
I don't remember them changing like that unless that class that she was teaching was in English, you could not revert to Spanish and back and forth. I don't remember her doing that.
Did Mrs. Sanchez ever teach in English?
I think she had some classes in English too.
So you were aware as a student, mm-hmm, that some of your teachers were bilingual. They spoke.
Oh, bilingual. Yeah, definitely.
And so other than in the classroom, mm-hmm, on the playground or in the courtyard or whatever, or in the cafeteria when you saw your teachers, would it be expected that you would speak to them in one language or the other?
Well,
or it didn't
out of
matter?
school, like if it was after there was no class going on, I guess if you felt comfortable speaking to her in Spanish or she would speak to you in Spanish. But I think their biggest pet peeve, if I remember that correctly, they liked for you to speak to them in whatever.
One language or another.
Exactly.
But would you ever, and this is, because it's sometimes, in these kinds of programs, teachers don't like for their students to know that they can speak both languages, so that to force them to speak one as opposed to the other. So do you ever remember going up to Dr. Sanchez and speaking to her in English? Do you remember? Oh, you did speak to her.
Yeah.
Did you ever speak to her in Spanish outside the classroom?
I think maybe I did, in sixth grade, and in fifth grade probably not, because I was afraid of them. But I guess since you got to know the teachers, because we did have them in fifth and sixth grade, right? I'm not nuts. You can't talk? Oh my goodness.
So you started feeling more comfortable speaking in Spanish.
Oh, right? Yeah.
Can I ask you about your parents?
Sure.
Your parents placed you in that school.
My parents placed me in that school because it was our neighborhood school.
It was neighborhood school.
I mean, you just walked half a block and there was the school. But my mom was here last Sunday, and I told her, I mean, she knows that I was going to give Bessie their interview and all that. And I told her, Mom, Bessie wants you to be present and stuff. And I was telling her and my aunt both about the program, and my mom says, nobody ever told me that your textbooks were going to be in Spanish. Nobody ever explained to me. And I said, Mom, are you sure? And I said, the only thing that we were ever invited to go was to Parent Open House. And you know how Parent Open House is, that you're there, I think they do it like in October, end of October, so you have some of the little trabajitos manuales up on the wall for the parents to see how the kids are doing and so forth. But they didn't really have time to interact with the teacher or for them to ask the teacher, how's my child doing, blah, blah, blah. So my mom and my aunt were both floored that we had the program where one semester you had core subjects taught in Spanish, and then the following semester it was in English. And at least that's the way I remember. Maybe I'm wrong, but that's the way I remember it.
So sometime during that year, they found that out, right?
No, my mom.
Well, when did they find
my mom
out?
Just found out last Sunday. My mother had no idea. My mom had no idea. But then again, when we moved from Illinois back here, my mom was working two jobs. And, my abuelitos were the ones that were taking care of us during the day, so both my parents could work. Mom had a day job, and then she had a night job. And so they really didn't have time to, mingle with the school. But I told her, Mom, when you went to enroll us, she says, they told me that this was a fantastic new approach to teaching, that it was called the bilingual program. I knew that they were going to be stressing Spanish, but she thought it was basically going to be a Spanish class, everything else English, and that they were going to focus a big chunk of time in, like, Spanish class, making sure that you knew how to speak Spanish, write Spanish, interact in Spanish, but not to have the subjects per se taught in Spanish to us. Because, I mean, we were, 10, 11 years old, at least for me, fifth and sixth grade, you had to learn the English language, and you had to learn how the adverbs, like in my report card says, and all that stuff. So if they're taking so much time, in teaching you in Spanish, instead of, they're taking time away from concentrating more on you being a better speller in English or a better English speaker or being able to conjugate or speak proper. And my mother was flabbergasted that they had done this. And I said, Mom, where were you on what planet were you living? Because when my kids were going to school, I was very involved. But then again, I haven't worked. So it's a different thing.
You said that they sometimes come to open houses. You remember other kinds of things? The community ever, you know, coming? Did the school ever invite the community in for,
I don't remember.
Know, a party or picnic or some information meeting or something?
I know they do that now. But back then, I don't remember them doing.
So
I don't remember.
It's a question that actually has come up since we started having these interviews. They really didn't place you in that school because they wanted for you to have this particular kind of experience in school.
It was school.
It was your neighborhood school.
Exactly.
And they felt like it was a good school.
Right.
Not necessarily this kind of
program.
She had
no idea how the program worked. Nobody ever had a meeting that she recalls where they sat the parents down and they said, this is what... But then again, I started in the fifth grade. Maybe they did it with the kids like Bessie that started first grade or started kindergarten. You know, maybe they used to do it at the beginning. But I came into the program late in fifth and sixth grade, so maybe that was all done with already.
That also means, I guess, you can answer this, that neither you nor your parents really knew the kind of historic significance of this particular school.
No, not really.
When did you find out that, in fact, this was a historic school? This was an important school historically in the United States.
When my sister-in-law, Lourdes Rovira, started working there, she became a teacher, and at family gatherings, she would talk about the school, and she would comment that she was writing on the board, and the kids would correct her. And sometimes she had literally made a mistake, and she would, you know, like, be quiet. So then we started hearing more and more about the program, and then she got really involved. I think she became assistant principal. So from hearing the stories at my sister's house during family functions, I started realizing, hey, this thing is still going on. They're still doing this bilingual program.
Mm-hmm. As an adult, you mean?
Yeah, as an adult.
But did you ever hear anybody say, you know, this was the first, this is the most important, this is in all the history books.
No.
Everybody in the world knows about this school.
No, never.
So you never had a sense of the historic significance of your having attended that school when it first started?
No, none whatsoever.
Wow.
None whatsoever.
That's pretty amazing. Okay, let me ask you now about some of your impressions and attitudes in the program. You remember how you felt then about your experience in the program? What were you enjoying yourself? Did you feel as if this was frustrating or a problem for you?
I was very frustrated because, like I said before, my forte was English, not Spanish. We spoke Spanish at home, but to have to read health textbooks and history, civics, even the math, when they would try to, and math was, I was really weak in math, and I remember, Bessie can't talk, but I wish she could. I remember when it was that particular semester that you had to have math and Spanish, Miss Sanchez or Miss Otolongo, whoever it was, I think it was Miss Sanchez, you had to talk about the fractions and everything in Spanish, unless I'm crazy, but that's the way I remember it. And it was very difficult, very difficult.
It was difficult, but did you like it then? Was it enjoyable or was it just a bad experience for you or a good experience?
I would have been more comfortable, to be honest with you, had the curriculum been in English. Because I came from up north and that's what I was accustomed to. And it was frustrating. It was frustrating because my parents didn't have time to help me. And there was a lot of words in the textbooks and stuff that I didn't know what it was. And my oldest sister had stayed in Chicago living with my aunt, and my brother had his own problems, you know, he was in high school. So it was hard to get somebody to be able to help you when you had, you know, like, I don't know about Bessie can't help. Me, when my kids were in school, if they had an issue, they could come to me and sit down, and I would be able to help them. We would go over it. We would read the material. My parents weren't available. So it was very... Nowadays, I think kids have... if you see the website for Corwell Elementary, there's links in there where kids can actually, if they're having trouble with their homework, that they can link on, and if they're doing projects, it gives them, granted, it's technology also, you know, that we didn't have back in our day. But I didn't have that extra help. And I don't think we had after-school teacher help either available back in those days. I'm pretty sure we didn't. So it was tough. It was tough.
Let me just clarify, because it is an interesting question for me. You said that it would be, it have been better if you had been in an English curriculum. Do you mean that it would have been better if you had been, for example, in another school completely English,
yeah,
or if you had been in Coral Way but assigned to the other group, not the group
maybe
that you were in?
Maybe that might have been it. Maybe if I was assigned with... But I think that the way that they assigned you was, like I said before, because of your last name, that there was no testing involved to see what you were comfortable in. Letitia Letty also told me that I think she started in Coral Way either at the end of fourth grade or the beginning of fifth grade. And she came also from a school that didn't have this program. So she had a lot of struggles also in the beginning, and her parents weren't available for helping her either. But I tell Letty that I think her recollection of the program is because she stayed living in that part of Miami. She's worked with Cubans. She's been able, and where you work and who you work with and what language you speak has a lot to do with it. And she's in the last, I would say maybe 15, 20 years of her life, she's been working among Spanish-speaking people in a Spanish-speaking arena where she's been able to practice, partake. You know, you understand what I'm saying? Whereas I always worked, when I did work, I worked for American companies. For companies that if you spoke Spanish, you spoke Spanish during your breaks with your Spanish coworkers. But your day-to-day working on the phone or whatever was not in Spanish. There was no Spanish. Everything was in English.
Was there anyone who was able to help you through some of those struggles?
Not during Coral Way Elementary days. I think once I got into junior high, and for some reason it wasn't as difficult. Maybe I had learned more. But once I got into Shenandoah Junior High, I think I had maybe science, I think, bilingual science, and bilingual history, was it? Bessie can't talk. Oh, geez. I should have called you first. my report card shows it. It said bilingual science or whatever. For some reason, I guess it got easier. But then again, I was only for 2 years in the bilingual program at Coral Way, whereas Bessie and the other people who started from kindergarten or first grade, whenever it was that it started, had the advantage that I didn't have.
But when you went to Shenandoah from mm-hmm. Coral Way, mm-hmm. you didn't have to be in the bilingual science.
I know,
you?
But you wanted to be with the people you knew.
Mm-hmm. So that was the reason.
That was the reason.
But it was easier for you than
it got
it
easier.
Would have been.
Oh yeah, it got easier. It got easier. I think my grades showed it. That like I told Bessie in the email I sent her, take this, Miss Mikes. After all those comments she gave me on the report card about the adverbs and all that, my grades improved a lot.
So that's how you remember feeling then. Thinking back now, mm-hmm. how do you feel about your participation? How do you feel about the fact that you went to that school and you participated and you had that experience?
Well, I guess back then as a child, I was not happy that I was in that program. But I guess now as an adult, I guess maybe it was a good thing because it did help me improve my Spanish. But I don't know, had I to do it all over again, I don't think, I wouldn't do that to my children. I wouldn't. In elementary school, maybe once you get into junior high, where you've mastered your adverbs and your whatever in English, and you're able to speak and write better, you have a better command of the English language, I think it might be a good idea, but not in elementary school.
So, again, some of that might have to do with your your placement in the group that you were in.
Mm-hmm. Might be.
But some of it also might be your sense that it would be better for them to develop that language first before they got something else.
I think so, especially since English, my forte was English. It wasn't Spanish, and I was placed in the Spanish group.
Mm-hmm. Are you, you consider yourself bilingual and biliterate? That is, can you read and write?
I mean, my accents aren't that good, but I can write Spanish. And my husband came from Cuba when he was one. He came before Fidel. And he lived in the area that's close to the airport. And he started kindergarten and everything here in Miami, which I find amusing because in his house, all his siblings were born here. He's the oldest. In his house, they did not speak with the elders they did, but his parents, as they mastered the English language, spoke to them in English, and everything was English, 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 English. They didn't push the Spanish at all. So he brought that home when we got married and didn't really force my children to speak Spanish at home. When they were with me, I would force them to speak Spanish. But my husband said, no, they're in the United States. They have to speak in English because that's where they're going to work.
Do you remember doing anything outside of school? Did I ask you this before? I don't think I did. Extracurricular activities?
Well, in sixth grade, we were in the patrol. I remember Bessie, and I think Summer was a patrol too, and I think Letty was too. So being part of the patrol in sixth grade, we did have functions, field trips and stuff. Maybe the regular class also too. They took us to museums and stuff, but I don't remember that. I remember the sixth grade patrol party that they took us to the Seaquarium. And then they went to a little party at somebody's house. I don't know if it was Joni Blasberger's or whose house, at a pool. But
so you've already answered this in your previous response. But maybe, again, taking a slightly different angle. How effective do you think this approach is? That is, this dual language approach, this bilingual approach in educating children. Is it only for some children? Is it for, could it be a general model for education for everybody? What do you think about that?
To be honest with you, I think elementary school kids, then again, I'm talking because I only had it since the fifth grade and I came from a different program. Maybe if they begin as early as Bessie, it is beneficial, but I think it's confusing because you need to master one language. And I have a really bad case of Spanglish. I'll start, when I talk to people that speak in Spanish, I'll start to talk in Spanish and then I'll change and I'll say a few words in English. And I don't know, maybe I have a learning disability that's never been diagnosed. I don't know. But that does happen to me a lot. But only when I speak to people that I know speak Spanish that are going to be, we're going to be talking Spanglish.
Do you, in your home now,
mm-hmm.
or even if in your home when you were a child, if you remember this, was there any media in other languages, in Spanish or in English?
Media like television?
Like television, newspapers, books, magazines.
My parents and my grandparents would have their Spanish TV shows that they would watch, mm-hmm. that they would watch, not us.
Mm-hmm.
We wouldn't be caught dead watching it. And then they had the Diario La America and then the Miami Herald. And they had little magazines that they would receive, not really magazines. I think they were more like little periodiquitos
mm-hmm.
that they would receive that were in Spanish and so forth. Because my dad in Cuba was a PE professor, and he was of a group. He was part of a group here that they were very much into tennis playing and stuff. So they would all put out a little newspaper thing that they would receive in Spanish. I think Mom still receives
but
it, too.
But these were not things that you would be reading
No. My parents didn't force us to read in Spanish.
What about now? Do you have the Spanish language media in your home?
No.
Anything?
Mm-mm.
No, you don't watch telenovelas or...
My kids would kill me. My kids would kill me.
Well, tell me... maybe as a final question, what you found most enjoyable about your experience at Coral Way. And you can tell me what kinds of things you found least enjoyable. And these can be kinds of things, or they can be very specific kinds of things.
Well, the things I liked, first of all, the sixth grade, being in that portable. If you were a sixth grade in the bilingual program, you were in that beautiful new portal. It wasn't a portable. It was a concrete building, actually. Huge building. We got to estrenar that new building. That was the best part of it. I guess being with the same core people that for me, I had met in fifth grade, continuing with the people that, I'm not much into getting to know new people. I'm kind of shy. But that was good. And the teachers, continuing with the same teachers that you already knew how they were, what they expected of you. I'm pretty sure we continued with Ms. Sanchez and Ms. Mike's, but he can't help me. the least that I liked was being forced in alternating semesters to do the curriculum, civics, math, or science, to be forced to read it in Spanish and to have to report it in Spanish. I didn't like that at all. I think they could have, had a Spanish class that was 3 or 4 days a week, or maybe every single day, instead of 1 hour, 2 hours, or 3 hours, and concentrated heavily in Spanish instead of making you do use the Spanish textbooks for these regularly taught in English subjects like science and math and history and so forth.
Great. Well, that really is all the questions that I have for you. If you can think of anything else, either now or later, you have our contact information.
Sure.
You could send us things or write us.
You can call us.
You can whatever. This is a continuing project. It's going to be continuing for maybe years to come. Depends really on what we find and where we go and what leads we have. At some point, we'll do some things like write some reports up or some articles or whatever, but that doesn't mean those will end. So we're always interested in new information.
Okay.
So if anything occurs to you, that'd be good.
Great.
So thank you very much.
Oh, you're very welcome.